Hey, I want to say welcome to all of our patrons and welcome to this week's edition of South Carolina Pro Wrestling Behind the Scenes. It's Heath Mulliken again, trying to figure out what episode this is. This is episode 8, so we're trucking right along. I got a jam-packed, that's what I try to do. Jam-packed show for you today. Notes from this weekend shows. Stuff about the South Carolina Athletic Commission, including a lot of research that I did last week to get ready for this show and make sure that I got my ducks in a row and I give you facts, and then I can do some speculation. I'm going to talk about what's the future hold for Three Count and Old Crow Pro after their shows this weekend. We're going to talk some indie wrestling math, which I know several of our patrons are very much aware of that. But for some of you, maybe you've never helped out with a wrestling show. Maybe you're just a fan. Just kind of give you a little peek, a little inside information into some indie wrestling math. And then I'll talk about why I didn't think my commentary was that good last night at Three Count. Give myself a B-. So Old Crow Pro, talked about them for over a month now. The weather did hit bad. It rained on and off during the day Saturday. They ended up having about 50 to 60 people at the show, which is good for rain. I just felt like they had built up some momentum. This is just me. Again, please understand what I'm saying. If I disagree with how someone does something, it's not a personal attack. I'm just stating my opinion. But I feel like if your announcements are, hey, we don't have seating, bring an umbrella, that's not exactly going to endear people to want to come to your show. They had some talent issues, so there weren't some match announcements. I'll talk to that in a minute. And they've talked to a couple of people. And so this match had 6 matches, some great talent on the card. I've said it before, my original plan when I saw some of the lineup, my original plan was to go to the show. That was my plan. Wanted to see some guys wrestle in the upstate that I hadn't seen. And then I was, pretty sure the show wasn't going to happen. I was wrong about that, and glad I was wrong. But heard that half of the matches, 3 of the 6 matches featured heavy comedy, including if you've been to a show outside of PWX and you've seen Zane Riley, you know he does the timeout spot. I've seen that at probably 3 different shows that he does. And there's a time and place for wrestling. Comedy is a part of wrestling. A lot of what Terry Funk did was funny. The way he would stumble around the ring. But here's the thing. There's a time and a place, and there's a right and wrong way to do comedy. I mean, the saying in wrestling is, funny isn't money. But I don't know. I'm not a fan of spots like that. PWG has done the grenade spot. But I think 3 of 6 matches, half your matches, having a lot of comedy, I don't know. That's way too much in my opinion. So it's going to be interesting to see, where they go from here. 3 Count. Going to be honest, I didn't think there was a bad match on the card. Not just saying that. Crowd. This is one of the biggest crowds 3 Count's drawn in quite some time. I think I've been very honest about what I felt were some failures on my part with them last year. And the crowd was great. I don't think this was, in some ways, this was a wrestling crowd. In some ways, it wasn't. There were a lot of high school kids there. And they were into it to the very end, into every match. Every match got a great crowd reaction. It was nice to see a big crowd for them. 150 to 175, I would say. Could be more than that. But it was an interesting show. It was a good show. A lot of they put card subject to change on there. So let's get right into that. So for those that don't know, South Carolina has an athletic commission. I don't want to rehash all this. So to become a licensed wrestler in South Carolina, you have to go to your doctor. You have to have a physical that they sign off on and fax your physical to the athletic commission. It has to be faxed from the doctor's office. You have to get a lot of paperwork notarized. You have to send in the fees. Three Count the other night actually sent a wrestler home because his permit or his license was not in the system. So let's talk about that. And I got a lot of notes here, so I might jump around. I apologize for that. I just got a lot of information for you. So just because a guy is not in the system doesn't mean that his paperwork hasn't been turned in, but technically, if he's not in the system, it's not official. You can call the athletic commission and you can check with them. Say, hey, is this guy good? Does he have his paperwork in? Is he good? Can we use him? Yes. You know, they'll give you an answer. You can go on their website. If you know a wrestler's name, or you can actually go on there and, South Carolina Athletic Commission, you can click on licensee lookup. You can type in for town, type in Stamford. And you can see all the wrestlers from Stamford, Connecticut with WWE who are licensed in the state of South Carolina. We'll get to that. We'll get to the website being updated in a minute. Three Count sends a guy home. I know they used another wrestler whose paperwork, who was not in the system, and whose paperwork technically was not complete. He had all the paperwork ready, had it on him. The doctor had just not faxed the physical in. So it was an incomplete license. They let that wrestler compete. Even if you, there's a patrons episode where Mark and I really get into, you know, the story last year where we had a guy who had sent all his paperwork in, but he wasn't in the system and we thought he was good, and the back and forth of should we use him or not, and that the onus was put on me because I, you know, my name was on the permit. I was the licensed promoter for that show, and it was made very clear to me, oh, you know, if something goes wrong, you're the one that's going to have to pay the fine. So, also, if you listen to the Pro Wrestling Report today, at the very end of the show, they had the track coach for Blue Ridge come in and throw Ken Magnum over the top rope to win the Battle Royal. Now, this isn't the first time Three Count's done something like this. There's multiple times they've done this Battle Royal gimmick and brought in the coach or the local mayor and let them participate illegally. I mean, for lack of a better term, illegally. That's not supposed to happen. And what's really, no pun intended, Ken Magnum dodged a bullet because you got an untrained guy in there and he didn't get Ken over the top rope, and Ken got tangled up in the ropes, had his leg tangled up in the ropes, precarious situation, not where you want to be, could have easily been seriously injured. And then you got your heavyweight champion injured by a guy who technically shouldn't even be in the ring. So, I know for a fact, I mean, that's just a fact, you know, so I'm just stating here on the old crow pro side, Jackson James, not in the system. Phone call, mate. Zane Riley, not in the system. That takes me to Jeff Lewis Neal. Jeff Lewis Neal, and this is where I want to spend most of my time on this issue. Jeff Lewis Neal, in regards to the athletic commission, and just my conversations with people and talking to different people about Jeff Lewis Neal's status in South Carolina. It has almost reached mythical proportions, as I've heard the stories told. And nobody knows all the details. So let's talk about the facts first, and then we'll get into some speculation. So fact, we know as of today, or as of Friday, Jeff Lewis Neal was neither listed on the website as a licensed wrestler. A phone call was also made, another promotion looking to book him for a show, and they were told he is not in the system. We have no one by that name in the system. So I know that Saturday at the Old Crow Pro Show, he wrestled without a license. That's maybe his paperwork was in, but the people at the Athletic Commission did not have his paperwork. We're not aware of him. Maybe it was sitting on the desk. They hadn't gone through it yet. That's a possibility. It has been verified to me that someone was looking to book him in 2016, so 2 years ago. He was in the system. His license was listed as suspended. If you want to just take my word for it, you can do the work yourself. South Carolina Athletic Commission website. Type in Rob Terry, former TNA star. Excuse me, former TNA wrestler. Don't know if star is the right word. The big guy. The guy that was just one of the biggest muscle-bound guys in wrestling history. His license is currently suspended, and you can see what that looks like on the website. So anyway, that's where it stands. Now, if your license is suspended, in order for it to be lifted, you have to have a hearing with the Athletic Commission. You have to go before them. And there's lots of reasons people have to appear before the Athletic Commission. You can go back. They have minutes for all of their meetings back to 2013. And I've went through them all. And since 2016, I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. Is it possible that I missed something? Absolutely. However, since 2016, there's no record of Jeff Lewis Neal's license being reinstated. In order for that to happen, he would have had to pay fines. And that's where the myth comes in, is what is, man, was this fine $250? Is it $500? Do the fines just keep, and part of it is that the fines just kept accumulating, that his license was suspended. He continued to work shows in South Carolina. And every time he worked a show in South Carolina without a license, that's a $250 fine. It's also a $250 fine for the promoter that allowed him to work without a license. So when you have a situation like Old Co Pro, where you have a guy, Jake James, trying to run a show, trying to build a promotion, but he's going through someone else to get the permit, Shane Doerr from Palmetto Championship Wrestling in this instance. Shane Doerr's the one on the hook. Shane Doerr is literally, his name's on the permit. His name is on the dotted line. So Shane Doerr's on the hook for any fines accumulated from this show. So we know, so here's some other facts we know. We know that about a year ago, Big Time Wrestling was in Spartanburg. Billy Gunn wrestled on that show. However, when Billy Gunn came to the Peach Festival back at the end of the summer, in order for him to compete on that show, the promoters, Battle Zone Wrestling, had to get Billy Gunn a license in South Carolina, even though he'd already wrestled on the Big Time Wrestling show. It's no secret within wrestling that when big time wrestling comes to Spartanburg, they use a lot of big names, guys that may only wrestle in South Carolina that one time. They bring in their own doctors. The physical is done on site. Athletic commission, employees, inspectors are there. And so it's all done the day of the show. However, it's clear that at last year's big time show, it is very clear that whatever happened with Billy Gunn, maybe they did his physical, maybe all the paperwork was completed, maybe it was notarized, but it did not get from that point back to Columbia and entered into the system and entered into the record. Okay? That's, you know, that step was skipped. The rumor also was, in the case of Jeff Lewis Neal, because here's a promotion, knew he was suspended. The rumor was, well, Big Time Wrestling paid his fine for him to have his suspension lifted so he could work the Big Time Wrestling show. All right? And who knows? Again, I don't know how much that fine was. I have no idea. This is what I do know. This is a fact. Last fall, after a lot of this happened, there was major turnover at the Athletic Commission. Major turnover. The administrator gone. Administrative assistant gone. Major turnover. Again, lots of rumors. The rumor being that Big Time Wrestling wasn't paying the fine for Jeff Lewis Neal, that they were simply at these shows paying the officials off, literally paying the representatives of South Carolina Commission. Again, this is just a rumor, paying them money under the table to look the other way so that the show could go on. Because if you go back, because I was promoting, I'm a promoter. I'm sending in my permits. And after September, the website was not updated. It wasn't updated with guys getting their licenses. The calendar was not uploaded or updated after September. I remember, you know, we had a show one weekend, and I called another promoter and said, "Hey, do you have your? Are you good? Did they? Because when you send in your paperwork for a permit, they physically mail you a permit for the show. It's a physical permit. You have to have it, you know, you have to have it on you. And it tells you everything you have to do on that show." But after September, Three Count ran in November, never got a permit for that. We were set to run in December, never got a permit for that. And maybe we never got a permit in September. Maybe August was the last show we actually got a physical permit for. But I called other promoters and I was like, "Hey, you know, we sent stuff certified." So I knew the commission had our paperwork. I knew the money orders, the checks had been cashed in order to pay for the events. So it's just a mess. It's just a mess. And, you know, Bob Keller did a great interview with Bill Hazelwood on his podcast. And this is something they talked about. And the thing is, you know, whether you like the commission or not, and there's pros and cons to it, absolutely. But if somebody's, you know, the rules are for everybody. So everybody ought to have to follow the rules. The rules ought to have to be the same for everybody. So it's not right, you know, for a show to run, use unlicensed guys, get a cheap pop from a crowd, or use unlicensed guys because he works for a local radio station and he might, you know, bring in some extra fans. You got people doing things the right way. And so just follow the rules. That's all I'm saying. So it'd be interesting to see. I do know, again, a promoter made a phone call, and Jeff Lewis Neal probably no longer booked for that upcoming show because, you know, he's not in the system. Now, what's funny is if he were suspended, technically he would be in the system. So who knows? Who knows? I just know there's no record that I have found that his case was ever heard, that the fines were ever levied, the fines were ever paid, because the commission, their committee, the actual commission, has to make a ruling on, sometimes they reduce the fines, sometimes they don't, but there's no record of that. There's no record of that ever happening since 2016. That leads me to ask, what's the future hold for these two promotions? What's the future hold for Three Count and Olco Pro? I don't think that you can build an audience running only outdoor shows. Had the weather been better, had it been clear and 60 degrees, they could have drawn 100 people. Who knows? I know they're looking for a building to run in Greenville. That could get costly. And speaking with Jake James, he has a vision for what he wants to do. And more power to him. I'm glad he's got a vision for what he wants to do. But, you know, despite what you might think of their card the other night, you can't just run, you know, spot shows using talent from other promotions. You're going to have to give the fans something different. Three Count, one of the changes with them is I've heard they're only going to run paid shows moving forward. I did hear through a friend that there is a wrestler who has family that goes to Blue Ridge, and they didn't even know there was a wrestling show Saturday night. So that's a problem. If you've got a high school that's got 800, 900, 1,000-plus students, and you draw a crowd of 150, 175. Listen, I've been there. You know, we ran a show at a high school with 1,000 students and drew about 100 people. So I've been there. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. However, if you're only running paid shows, so what is a paid show? Let's talk about some indie math here. A paid show is when somebody, you tell them, this is how much it costs to do a show. And they just give you the money. And then they're either going to go and they're going to sell tickets and get sponsors for this event. And they're going to raise money for their cause, for their festival, or whatever. But you as the promoter, your show's paid for. You don't have to worry about how many tickets you sell. Everybody's paid. All the permits are taken care of. And it's a stress-free. It is completely stress-free. Sometimes you go in and maybe they don't pay 100%. Maybe it's 50-50. Maybe it's 70-30. Different setups. But Three Count's business model running, moving forward, it appears that they're only going to run paid shows where they partner with other people. I do know Three Count, you know, has a loyal sponsor, very loyal. But I do know we had trouble picking up other sponsors. So if somebody pays you, you tell them, all right, it's going to be $1,500 to run a show. You got to sell 150 tickets at $10 a piece just to break even. So again, you might have some sponsors come in, whatever. And that's how you're trying to make your money. I can tell you one of my biggest frustrations with Three Count, I think Mark and I have talked about it, is you're paying $400+ to rent your ring. Or they were. So before you even get there, you got to sell 40 tickets just to pay for the ring. That's before you pay for any talent. That's before you pay for a permit. It's before you pay for anything else, advertising. You got to sell 40+ tickets just to pay to rent the ring. And I know what you're thinking. And no, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And so you look back, again, do the math. You look back at some three-count events from 2017, and you're drawing 75, 80 people. You just do the math. But just because you see a show that doesn't draw well, and you do the math, and you think, man, they didn't make enough on tickets, they might have enough sponsors to cover the cost. And some promoters have another stream of income outside of the ticket sales that subsidize their shows. You know, I've heard promoters set up a side business that covers the cost of renting facilities. Some promoters just are good promoters, and they make enough from one show to pay for the next show. Some promoters are just better with money than other promoters. A smart promoter shows up at the building the day of the show, and everything's already paid for before they sell a single ticket. That's kind of how WWE is now. They got so many streams of income. When they run a local show, they don't have to sell any tickets. It's paid for. And the tickets are all profits a lot of times, unless they got to pay, local union workers or local people, set up and tear down and techs and stuff like that. However, it's bad for the business. It's bad for wrestling when someone does a wrestling fundraiser and they don't raise any money. I've been there. I have been a part of shows where without the sponsor, people would not have been paid. I have been to shows where we're doing a fundraiser and without concessions or without a sponsor, based on ticket sales, no money was raised. I've been a part of fundraisers, paid shows with other promotions that the people sponsoring the fundraiser lost money on the show. Because you're paying for the show. You got to sell a certain number of tickets to break even or make money, and they just don't do it. Because the fact of the matter is, you can do the math and you can say something like, well, we're doing a fundraiser for the band, and the band has 50 people. And if everybody in the band sold 3 tickets, this would be a great show. Well, every kid in the band is not going to sell 3 tickets. Every kid in the band ain't even going to come to your show. I do know if you get a reputation for not paying guys, if you get a reputation for not taking care of people, you're not going to be running long. And if you get a reputation for using other people's permits or using other people's licenses to run shows and you're not taking care of your financial commitments, there's going to be fewer people who are going to offer you an opportunity to use their license to get a permit. And I would say, if you really want to run a wrestling promotion, get your own license. Get your own promoter's license. And if you're not getting a promoter's license because you can't afford one, then there's your answer right there. If you're not wrestling in South Carolina because you can't afford a wrestling license in South Carolina, there's your answer right there. That's just my 2 cents. So I told you that I would only give my commentary at 3 count last night a B-. Why was that? Let me give you all the excuses. There's really no excuse. Now, let me just say this. Obviously, my energy was there. I just seemed out of it. I was rushed. We had an event at church yesterday, so I didn't get there till probably around 4:30. Doors opened at 6, so I had a limited amount of time to get things ready. I didn't get the card until 6:45. Show starts at 7. I done some show prep, and I know these guys, so some of it comes naturally, but there was a lot of things changed. Where I had to set up, I wasn't ringside, and so I had a diagonal view of the ring. So I couldn't see half the ring because the post was in my way. Just a bad view. I felt like I couldn't see well enough to even see what was going on. I missed some key moments because I couldn't see. I missed some key moments because I was further away, and some things happened outside the ring that I just couldn't see. So I'm seriously thinking about going back and re-recording some of that audio. But you know, I can't be great. I mean, I guess you can be great every night, but I wasn't great last night at the Three Count show. But I had fun. No stress on my part. Got to spend some time with my son. Got to eat Waffle House with my son. That's a good day. Still waiting to hear back from APW and PCW on their plans for April 13th. They both have shows scheduled that Friday night. PWX is running Schoolhouse Rocket. The Rock Hill Armory or the Rock Hill American Legion building. We won't know a lot about that card until Rise of a Champion, obviously. And then doing the math, I guess that's the two-week window there, 3-week window between Rise of a Champion and Schoolhouse Rock. It's going to be interesting, man. Things are picking up. I'm telling you, the calendar is filling up. DoubleDropKick.com, click on the events tab. It was great seeing Alan Welcher the other night at the Three Count show. Looking forward. I know some of you guys are going to be at Palmetto Championship Wrestling show here in a couple of weeks. I'm still working on my schedule for that weekend. I'm trying to look ahead, man. I'm trying to look ahead from now until the end of the year and make a schedule. I'm trying to hit as many promotions as possible. There are some promotions that I'm committed to be there when they run. And so I'm trying to get all this stuff squared away. But can't say enough. Thank you so much for your support. I want to thank Austin Robbs. He's one of our patrons. He did some work there with Old Crow Pro, working with them. I want to thank him for the results from that show and just kind of some insight there. And we'll see, man. It's going to be exciting. I mean, the more wrestling, the better is what I always say. Thanks again. Look forward to seeing you guys. We'll be live probably Thursday in the patrons group. Thank you for all your feedback. Thank you for all your support. And hope everybody has a great week. This is Heath, and we'll see you soon.